If you have your Bibles with you, or if you'll turn with me to our scripture text this morning, which is taken from the prophecy of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 36, I'll be reading verses 22 through 28 in the Old Testament in Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 22 through 28. Before I read that for you, I want to take a moment to set the stage and give you an introduction. Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
A new year, a fresh beginning, a new start, a new hope for a COVID-free 2021. Leave all the sickness and sadness to 2020. As we move into a new year, it's on everybody's mind, and it's got to be better than 2020. We have some gifts for a new year recorded in this passage, gifts from God, not just gifts of Christmas past or Christmas future or whatever, but gifts of a new year that keep on going. As God gave us the greatest gift of all, eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ, the gift of salvation, growing out of that come three gifts that are mentioned here in this passage. As we think about a new year, I want to think about God and newness. What's new about this year and God's great gifts, new gifts for us today? At the end of this age, at the end of our age, here in this world, God promises a new heavens and a new earth in Revelation chapter 21. The one who is seated on the throne says, "Behold, I make all things new." The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 12 says, "If anyone is in Christ, He is a new creation, a new creature. The old has passed away and the new has come." In the new year, I pray that we might be renewed in God's presence as new creations. The old would pass away and the new would come. Indeed, Jesus spoke to Nicodemus there at night. As they gathered, recorded in John chapter 3, Jesus said, "You must be born again," or another translation, "You must be born anew." So there's something throughout the scriptures that reflect God's concern for new life, for new beginnings, for something new. And in Ezekiel, Ezekiel promises hope for newness in the midst of Jerusalem's gloom and destruction as God's judgment was visited upon the people of the Jews, people of God in the Old Testament times as they were being carried off into captivity in Babylon. We have this hopeful prophecy in Ezekiel chapter 26. Listen, or 36, I'm sorry. Ezekiel 36. Listen as I read beginning with verse 22. "Therefore, say to the house of Israel, this is what the sovereign Lord says. It is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you have gone. I will show the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned among them. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the sovereign Lord. When I show myself holy through you, before their eyes. For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities, from all of your idols. I will give you a new heart. I will give you a new spirit, to put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. You will live in the land I gave your forefathers. You will be my people, and I will be your God. And I will save you from all your uncleanness, says the Lord. A new hope for God's people, based on God's new gifts. A new heart, a new spirit within them, and the promise of a new covenant, a new testament. Today, I want to take a moment to reflect on these three gifts in the new year, 2021. What's new for us in 2021? I hope that it includes at least these three great new gifts. What's new? First of all, the gift of a new heart. In verse 26, as I read, I will give you a new heart. Regeneration is what the theologians call this. A new life, new beginning, a new heart. A heart? I needed a new heart, you may say. A heart. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, the word for heart is not just a place of feelings when we today in the 21st century think about heart emojis that we click on Facebook and so forth. We tend to think about love, romantic love, feelings, but that's more of a Western concept than a biblical concept, especially in the Old Testament. Yes, love was involved, but in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the heart, quote unquote, was the seat of human wisdom and the seat of human will. Wisdom and will. Think about it. As a person thinks with his heart, in the heart, so is he. As a person makes plans with the heart, as a person comes to make decisions with the heart, the Bible says. In other words, righteousness, the righteous, love the Lord with all their heart. Yes, love the Lord their God with all their heart, their soul, their mind, their strength, all wrapped up together. The righteous, according to the Bible, are upright, righteous in heart. The righteous are pure in heart, clean and cleansed of their iniquities, as Ezekiel prophesies. A new heart, a heart transplant, you might call it. The heart is often the place of our downfall. The heart, the fallenness of our human heart, is often the cause of our deception. Jeremiah comments, the heart is deceitful above all things and is desperately corrupt or wicked. Who can understand it? Wow, that's a bleak statement. Kind of intense. Can it be? Well, the truth of it is we see in the Bible that sin's cardiac effects are hardening of our hearts. In our sin, our hearts become calcified, calloused, petrified. God says in verse 26, therefore, I will give you a new heart. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart the flesh. And in Ezekiel, you can also find the same exact promise in Ezekiel 11, verse 19, or Ezekiel 18, verse 31. It is a theme throughout this prophecy. God promises to give you a heart transplant. Take our lifeless hearts, our hearts unresponsive to God, things that are inclined away from God instead of toward Him, to give us a new heart, a new life, responsive, pliable, teachable hearts that are capable with the capacity of loving God and loving one another. Not a heart of flesh. By the way, that word flesh, sometimes used in the Bible to talk about negative things, our flesh, fleshly, carnal, sinful, worldly things. In this case, that word flesh is talking about things that are alive instead of stony, lifeless. God wants to give you a new heart. The gift of life through Christ. Regeneration. Regeneration of heart. When one becomes a Christian, he or she is given a new heart. This is exactly what Ezekiel was talking about here. God wants to give you a heart that will love, a heart that will live, a heart that He can mold into a loving, righteous person, the capacity to love God and to love one another, the ability to choose righteousness and holiness in life, a heart that has the facility to live to the fullness, an abundant life in Jesus Christ, not just inclined towards our own way. First gift of a new year is a gift of a new heart. The second gift of a new year is a gift of a new spirit. He says, I will give you a new heart. I will put my spirit. I will give you my spirit that you might find life. Revitalization. The word for spirit is the same word that's used in the Old Testament. Hebrew word for wind or breath. As he says in verse 6, 26, I will give you a new spirit, and that word is ruach. In Hebrew, ruach. God says, I will give you a new spirit. The Spirit gives us power. The Spirit gives us energy. The Spirit is the wind beneath our wings, so to speak. The Spirit is the breath of God within us, the breath of heaven. And if you've ever tried to do something without breathing, hold your breath, it doesn't last too long. If you ever tried to fly a kite when there is no wind, God gives us a new spirit to lift us up, the breath of God. In this context, by the way, is a great passage. Ezekiel has a vision of bones, dry bones. In the next chapter, I'd like to read for you this passage that illustrates this gift of the Holy Spirit. Spirit wind, the breath of God, the valley of dry bones. Chapter 37 of Ezekiel. Ezekiel says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and He brought me out by the Spirit, Ruach, of the Lord, and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, Sovereign Lord, You alone know. And He said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Notice the connection between the word of God and the wind of God, the word of prophecy and the life of the Spirit. He says, prophesy to these dry bones. Let them hear the word of the Lord, and I will make breath enter you, and I will give you life. I will attach tendons to you, and to make flesh come upon you, and to cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together. Bone to bone, I looked, tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them. There was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, Ruach, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come from the four winds. Again, that word Ruach. O breath, breathe into these slain that they may live. Rise up, as Sam was singing. What a great thing. Here it is, the connection. And so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up, our hope is gone, we are cut off. Therefore prophesy, say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, O my people, I am going to open up your graves and bring you up from them. Rise up, right? What a great follow-up. I will bring you back into the land of Israel, then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open up your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. I will settle you in your own land, then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken. I have done it, declares the Lord. Sometimes, yes, we feel like we are hopeless. Our hope is gone. We are cut off. We have dried up. But God says, I want to give you life, and that more abundantly. I want to put a new spirit in you that you may live. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew. Them bones, them dry bones. Here we are. New life comes within our spirit, comes from the Holy Spirit placed within us as we put our faith in Him. A fresh wind of God's Spirit blows within each individual believer in Jesus Christ. Revival, new life, a personal Pentecost, continual revitalization. That's the picture that Ezekiel sees. Have you the Holy Spirit living and breathing within you? Is the Holy Spirit alive, giving you life this morning? God wants to give you this gift. God is here to fill you with His Holy Spirit. He wants to give you a new heart, a new spirit, and one more thing, a new relationship through a new covenant. Gift number three is a new covenant. As we read in verse 28, a new relationship. And the heart of a covenant restored is a relationship restored. Verse 28, God says, you will follow my decrees and keep my laws. You will live in the land I gave to your forefathers. You will be my people and I will be your God. As you read the Bible, as you read the Old Testament especially, every time God comes to reestablish his covenant relationship, perhaps for the first time, perhaps to renew that relationship, this is the language he uses. You will be my people and I will be your God. And this covenant, in every case, whether it was with Noah, with Abraham, with Moses, with David, every time it was designed to be a binding relationship, a committed relationship between two parties. That's what covenant was and is. As we think about a marriage covenant, it's at its heart a binding relationship, a commitment. The problem was that Israel over and over again had broken covenant with God through infidelity and idolatry. And yet God was longing to reestablish that love relationship just as he does with you and me today. Yes, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but God longs for our relationship to be renewed and restored with him through a new covenant in Christ's blood. The heart of the covenant restored is the hope of a new covenant replaced. By God's mercy and by God's grace, we have hope as we enter into this new life and new year. And that hope is in the Lord, not in some political entity, not even in some vaccine, but in the Lord, the sovereign Lord, in a new relationship. This isn't about religion. This is about a living relationship committed to Christ. Jeremiah 31 is a classic passage that talks about all this wrapped up, where the Lord says, the time is coming when I will make a new covenant. This is Old Testament, by the way. Jeremiah 31. I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them. Interesting shift and blend of metaphors, adultery, idolatry. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. Not on tablets of stone, not on external parements of the law, but God wants to do a work within us, spiritually, writing his word, his law on our hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. Covenant language, as I said. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their sin, remember their sins no more. There is a hopeful word for a new year. God offers a fresh start, a new beginning, a new renewed relationship through a new covenant. This new year, by God's mercy and grace, the old has passed, the new has come. Opportunities for a do-over for every one of us, no matter what we've done, no matter where we've been. Whatever you've done is done. Wherever you've been is past history. God offers you new life in Christ, a new beginning, a new heart regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit, a new spirit revitalized by the Spirit of God, and a new covenant new relationship. Hence, we come to commune this morning with a cup of a new covenant in Christ's blood, shed for the forgiveness of sins, Jesus said. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all of your good and gracious gifts. We thank you for the gift of life, a new heart for a new start. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, the breath of God, blowing fresh wind, newness in our spirits, and the hope of a new relationship in Christ. Lord, we come humbly before you and ask that you will do this work within us as you have promised. Make us new as we begin anew in this new year. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your communion elements, you have your cup available, I'd like to share with you a ritual that we use again on Wednesday evening, midweek worship, for the preparation for us to come and commune together. Friends, our help is in the name of the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. As we gather this morning in celebration of the Lord's Supper, we hear again the story of God's mighty acts of love, embodied in the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. With thanksgiving, we remember that on the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all the people, for the forgiveness of their sins. Do this in remembrance of me." We are given assurance of the Lord's presence through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let us confess our sins. O Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned against you in our thoughts, words, and deeds. We have had anxieties about the future, even though we proclaim you as Lord. We have failed to love our neighbors. We have disobeyed your commands. Have mercy upon us, Lord Jesus. Forgive us our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that we may walk in your ways and serve you in grace and love. This we ask in your holy name. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, bless this time and all who gather. Bless these gifts, bread and the cup, as we remember the body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. Bless our hearts that we may receive these gifts we do not deserve, and remember Jesus' death and passion, and be partakers of the divine nature through him, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink, ye all of this. For this is my blood of a new covenant, a new testament, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." bread is a reminder, signifying the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Take and eat this. And remember that God loves you, that Christ died for you. Feed on Him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. Of salvation is a cup of a new covenant in Christ's blood shed for the forgiveness of your sins. Take and drink this and remember that God loved you, that Christ died for you, and be thankful. Amen. Oh Lord, we thank you and praise you for your great gifts to us, for the gift of hope, for the gift of salvation, for the gift of faith, for the gift of grace, for the gift of this reminder as we remember Jesus and all that He has done for us. Make us truly grateful. Reawaken in our hearts and minds the love that you desire for us, in us, for you, and for one another, that we might be filled to overflowing with the joy and life that comes from you abundantly. Thank you.